Chapter 9. I had to talk to Valerie immediately, but I certainly couldn't get up and leave in the middle of tea unless it was an emergency. Edeny would understand what I was doing if I came up with something on the spot, but I had no idea how Kalara would react. Would she find it suspicious? Well, there was no way to tell. But with Valerie outside, I had to act soon. I reached for my steaming teacup, took a sip, and looked pointedly toward Edeny. The Duchess glanced at me out of the corner of her eye and smiled sweetly, but didn't seem to catch my drift. I cleared my throat, and all heads turned to me instantly. Edeny, may I speak to you privately for a second?
I'm sure you could say whatever you need to in front of me.
Kalara grinned slyly.
As you've heard, there are no secrets between us.
Yes, there are. I need to speak to Edeny privately. The tea seemed to give me quite a few ideas for our work. If you'd like to meet me out in the hall?
Oh?
The blonde aristocrat echoed.
But of course. I'd love to hear your ideas.
Kilara's hateful scarlet eyes followed us as we stood up from our chairs and exited the room. Edeny turned to me as soon as we passed through the doorway, and her expression hardened immediately. For a passing second, she looked exactly as she did when I worked for her the first time. She'd often glared down at me with disdain and hatred, but even after her stunning confession, her harsh facial expression still jolted me.
What is it?
Edeny whispered.
What's the matter? You don't have new ideas, do you?
No. I needed to get you away from Kalara for a moment. Valerie's outside. I saw her through the window. I'm honestly surprised that Kalara didn't see her, but thankfully I don't think she did.
She's outside? I thought we were meeting back at your manor after the luncheon was over.
That's what I thought, too. I'm guessing Valerie found something she needed to show us immediately.
So, we have to get rid of Kalara.
Exactly. And fast, before she figures out something else is going on.
Do you think she noticed or she's suspicious?
The gorgeous blonde asked and glanced back toward the open door. Definitely. I think she's been on high alert since she stepped out of the carriage. She certainly didn't expect me or Josephine and Daisy to be here. I think she thought this was a casual meeting where she'd lure information out of you.
So you think she's the spy? I have a feeling, but I want to hear what you think first, Charles.
We don't have a lot of proof, but I think she is. Going off the person we met in the black market, she matched the height and build.
And the bandages. She wore them at the masquerade. She's not wearing them now, but I'm sure that they were the same fabric.
Exactly. But we should wait until we talk with Valerie and see what she's found. From the face she made outside of the window, I don't think it was anything good, and our suspicions are true.
How are we going to get rid of her?
Edeny hissed, cupped her chin, and glanced toward the open door again.
What about the Quarry Mile?
What? What's the Quarry Mile?
You know how I told you about the aqueducts. How my mother demolished a few of them to make space for housing?
Yes, I replied, furrowed my eyebrows, and took a step forward. What about them?
There's a place just outside of town with an enormous aqueduct that I've meant to have demolished. It's dangerous because many ex-consorts have set up tents underneath it, and the rock is starting to crumble. Not that I care if a few dirty, useless brutes lose their lives, but it could be an emergency to get us out of this.
Wait, you're not actually going to demolish it right now, are you?
Of course not, Charles. I'll do it at a later date.
Edeny turned her head toward the opposite side of the hall, spied a passing manservant, and lifted her right hand languidly in the air. Before I could say anything, a sizzle of static lifted into the air, and the smallest lightning bolt I'd ever seen slashed through the air toward the man. It made no sound as it passed right in front of him, and the manservant scurried backward with a soft yelp. He turned, glanced down the hall, and breathed a soft sigh when he spied the Duchess and I. The manservant thumped down the hall, and Edeny lifted a single finger to her lips for him to be silent.
Be quiet,
the blonde aristocrat hissed through her teeth. Your Highness, the manservant whispered. What can I do for you?
I need you to do something for me,
Edeny stated. Anything, Duchess, the bald servant bowed his head. I would willingly walk through a storm of your lightning bolts to get you whatever
That's
you want.
That's not necessary. You see, there's quite an unpleasant guest that I invited over for tea. I'd like to get rid of her immediately so I can be free of her wretched presence.
Ah, yes, the manservant nodded. What would you like me to do?
I need you to address me as if there's an emergency. Mention something about Quarry Mire. You know what that is, correct?
Yes, I do, Your Highness, the servant grinned. Shall I do it here, or go back to the mouth of the hall and shout to you?
Oh, the latter. Charles Rayburn and I are supposed to be out here, having a private conversation, and you interrupt us.
Yes, Duchess, the manservant grinned, whipped around, and raced back down the hall.
Good heavens, does he have to be so loud? I swear you can never find good help. Even if you do, they either quit or sign their lives away to some other aristocrats.
The manservant stopped when he got to the end of the hall, turned on his heels, and cupped his hands around his mouth.
Duchess! He screamed. My lady Duchess! There's been an accident!
What?
Edeny shouted back.
Excuse me for a moment, Charles. What's happened?
The big rock structure thingy,
the manservant struggled out.
The aqueduct?
Yes, yes, that thing. It's crumbled.
What? How? Were there any casualties?
Yes, 15 men died, and a passing aristocrat was injured, and there was an explosion.
Edeny's eyebrows shot up at the last added bit, and her lips pressed into a firm line, but there was nothing she could do about it now.
An explosion? What happened?
All of the stones crumbled and created a crater, the manservant shrieked. And it must have hit a pocket of natural gas. It exploded the entire aqueduct complex.
Gordon, send for my carriage. I need to get out there as soon as possible and assess the damages. Have all of the injured been cleared out?
Yes, mistress, the bald man bowed. The dead brutes have been cleared away and hastily buried in a mass grave.
And the injured aristocrat?
She's been taken to a hospital in Dervington, the manservant explained. Her injuries were minimal, but they're keeping her under observation just in case.
Oh, then that's good. I'm glad that we won't suffer the loss of another aristocrat in the city of Edenhart.
I'll call for your carriage right away, Your Highness.
The manservant threw himself forward into a bow and hurried off around the corner. Edeny grabbed me by the hand and led me back into the drawing room. As we reached the doorway, she dropped it and stepped through with a pained expression. The Duchess held her clasped hands to her chest, and for a second I could have sworn I saw a single tear drip down her alabaster cheek. The blonde aristocrat hastily wiped it away with the back of her hand and turned to the three shocked women sitting at the table.
Oh, I'm very sorry about this, but I believe we'll have to cut our luncheon short. It seems that the aqueduct I meant to have demolished has crumbled. I need to get out there and assess the damages before I call for a clean-up crew.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Daisy bleated.
We didn't mean to eavesdrop, but we heard everything. Is the aristocrat all right?
As my manservant said, they took her to a hospital for observation, but her injuries were minimal. That's good, then,
Josephine whispered.
It would have been horrible if an aristocrat was killed so suddenly. We all know how the death of Delphine and Hortensia shook you.
Yes, the loss of those two powerful aristocrats has changed Edenhart forever, and they will be missed for all of eternity.
Now, as I said before, I must leave and assess the damages at the site.
Of course,
Daisy soothed, stood up from her chair, and crossed the room.
We'll leave you be for the rest of the day.
Kilara, your carriage is already here. Charles, Josephine, and Daisy, I'll call for another carriage to take you home.
Edeny,
the turban-wearing woman smiled.
Why don't you allow me to come with you? I'd love to be of service to you.
No,
Edeny boomed.
It's my duty as the Duchess of this city to take care of these things. But thank you for your offer. It is very kind of you to think of me in this trying time.
Please,
Killara pleaded.
Let me come with you. I'd love to help you in this trying time.
Edeni physically struggled not to snap back at the tattooed woman, and instead plastered a fake smile over her features. The blonde aristocrat shook her head, crossed her arms over her chest, and cupped her elbows in the palms of her hands.
As I said,
the Duchess repeated,
thank you, but no. I need to do this myself as the Duchess of Edenheart. I need to be vigilant and continually prove to the people of this city that I am the right person for this position.
Understood, my Moon Queen,
Killara declared.
Goddess of the sun, my love, my heart burns with the heat of 1,000 blazing fires. I'll return home and wait for my next invitation to the duchy. Maybe next time we'll be able to be alone. I'm sure if that were to happen, we'd be able to get to know each other a bit more intimately.
Edeni's violet eyes hardened on the tattooed woman, and the Duchess's lips hardened into a thin line, but she suppressed the sigh that I knew was fighting its way up her throat. The Duchess forced out a smile, stepped aside, and gestured toward the hallway behind the door. Killara swiftly stood up from her chair, flounced across the room, and then gripped Edeni's wrist in her own.
I hope to hear from you soon,
the tattooed woman whispered.
Until then, I will wait patiently for you in the spirit realm.
Edeni snatched her hand away, and for a split second, the corners of her lips turned down in a grimace. Before Killara could notice, the expression was gone, and the Duchess smiled down at the turban-wearing woman pleasantly. The tattooed woman dropped into a low bow, rose to her full height, and sauntered out of the room. Josephine and Daisy stood up from their chairs and hurried to where the Duchess and I stood. We watched silently from around the corner as Killara tramped down the hall, glanced to the left, and paused for a moment as if she were thinking. Whatever the turban-wearing woman was plotting, she decided against it, moved right, and exited out the front door. All four of us breathed a collective sigh of relief, and I hurriedly walked to the balcony door. I watched for a moment as Killara hopped down the steps one by one, peeked over her shoulder at the duchy, and then climbed into the open door of her carriage. We waited with bated breath until the coach pulled away from the front of the house and trundled down the long drive. I rested my hands against the golden handles of the door and then ripped them open before stepping out into the balcony. I whipped my head around in search of Valerie, but she was nowhere in sight. "Val?" I called. "Valerie, are you still out there?" The bushes rustled below my feet, and within seconds, Valerie flipped up onto the railing and balanced there with her tail whipping out behind her.
"Here!"
the feline woman sang.
"Well, I missed you guys so much!"
The ash blonde climbed down off the railing, glanced toward the drive where Killara had disappeared, and then hurried into the drawing room with us. Edeni turned, moved to the door, and shut it with a soft click. The Duchess leaned against it for a second and took a deep breath.
"I'm so glad she's gone. That was exhausting."
"Can you believe all of the things she said?"
Daisy asked.
Do you think that she's involved with the dark arts?"
"Edeni," I urged, "you've dealt in the world of black magic more than we have. Were her tattoos runes and symbols?"
"Most of them were. Or at least those that I could recognize from my little experience. She got pretty close to confessing a few things to us. I'm sure if I got her alone and probed her a bit more, I'd be able to get all of the information out of her."
"No, you shouldn't do that."
"Excuse me, Charles? Did you just tell me no? I'm the Duchess of Edenheart, and I can do whatever I see fit."
"I'm not preventing you from doing it, Edeni. We don't know what kind of power that Killara has. But not only that, we don't know if she's the spy."
"Oh, she is. She's definitely the spy. She's out to kill Edeni, and you too, Charles."
What?
"She wants to kill Charles?"
the Duchess gasped.
"What do you mean?" "Well, exactly what I just said,"
the feline woman explained.
"She wants to kill you and Charles. The Queen prefers if it happens at the same time, though, so she may try to get you together and do it."
"Wait a second. The Queen knows about Charles? How?"
"Why don't we sit down?"
the brunette offered.
We can finish our tea, and Valerie can tell us everything that she learned while at Clara's.
The feline woman nodded, skipped over to the table, and settled herself down into one of the chairs. The ash blonde glanced over the spread, poured herself a cup of tea, and glanced over the macaroons.
Ooh, what are these? They look delicious. They're
Josephine opened her mouth to reply, but Edeny cut her off.
That's not important right now.
The Duchess barked, slipped into a chair, and then leaned her elbows against the tabletop.
Tell us everything you found.
I sat down beside Valerie, and Josephine and Daisy followed suit. We all turned our chairs toward the feline woman, and then waited for her to begin.
So, I snuck over to Clara's.
Valerie garbled through a mouthful of half-chewed macaroons.
Your directions were really helpful, Edeny. Thanks for that. Before I knew it was the queen who sent her here, I thought to myself, hey, this is a swanky place. It looked kind of like a hotel, but it was all one house. Except for the fact that it's in the middle of a pretty shady area. But I guess spies can't be choosy about their hideouts. I managed to pick the lock on the front door and sneak in.
Wait, you picked the lock? How did you know how to do that?
I just knew. I used this. I found it lying in the gutter outside an abandoned building and thought it was pretty. But hey, it was useful.
Valerie reached into her locks for a second and then pulled out a long, thin silver rod with a small jeweled flower dangling from the end. I stared at it for a few seconds, still completely confused, and Edeny threw her head back in a loud cackle of laughter. What is that? Some sort of a weapon?
No, Charles. It's a hat pin. Women use them to secure their enormous hats to their hair on windy days so they don't come flying off.
Oh, I've never seen one before in my life.
As I was saying,
Valerie went on,
I picked the lock with this. It was pretty easy, and the door just swung open on its own. Most of the house was empty except for two or three rooms, the bathroom, kitchen, and Clara's bedroom. I searched through everything inside the kitchen and bathroom just in case she'd hidden something in a coffee tin or behind the milk in the fridge. But there was nothing in there besides a bunch of vegetables.
God damn it, Valerie!
Edeny cried.
We don't care about what was in her fridge. What did you find?
Well, there's no need to be snippy. The bathroom was also empty, except for a toothbrush and a few bars of soap. If you were interested... I found all of the juicy stuff in her bedroom, which also doubled as an office. She had all of these strange wooden boxes that wouldn't open, and it took a long time to figure out they were puzzle boxes. Once I got the hang of them, I got all of them unlocked, and she had hundreds of letters from the Queen, spanning back to even before she arrived in Edenheart.
What did they say?
Josephine asked.
What did you learn about her? Her name is Akerla Adabane. She's from a small desert region called Atikum.
Well, that part is true, then. Well, go on, Valerie.
The queen has employed her family for generations, and I mean generations, possibly dating back to when the queen first came into power. Kalara was trained as not only a spy, but also an assassin in some sort of desert training camp. From the letters, it seemed as if she was away for almost 3 or 4 years while training. I guess she took out a few other aristocrats that the queen requested, but, Clara and the queen's relationship is a bit different than you'd expect. Well, I thought they were just a normal client and patron at first, and it seemed that way from the beginning, and then I thought they were friends, but I think they're in love, or something like that. Or Clara is the queen's personal consort, but I couldn't be entirely sure from the letters. Aside from all the other stuff I found, their correspondence was filled with I love yous and I wish you were in my arms right now. It was kind of naughty to read through all of them, but I had to.
So why is Clara here?
Edeny asked.
To kill Charles and me?
Yes. Apparently, Clara was sent here a few months ago just to spy on Edeny, but she saw you and Charles together. She reported back to the queen when she found out the two of you were working together, and the queen demanded that Clara dig into Charles Rayburn a little deeper. So she did. Clara told the queen that Daisy Browning is also involved with this, so the queen fully believes that the Brownings are her enemies, too. And somehow, I'm not sure how, the queen found out that Edeny is in love with Charles.
Oh, oh, oh!
Edany gasped.
I think I know how she found out.
How?
Well, it's a bit embarrassing.
I don't really think it matters right now if it's embarrassing or not.
Josephine carefully murmured.
It'd be best if you just told us.
When we worked together for the first time,
the blonde aristocrat started,
I couldn't figure out what the feelings building up inside of me were.
And? Come on.
I have a personal journal. And I wrote letters addressed to you, explaining what I was feeling and what I could do to make it go away. Someone broke into my duchy while I was away and went through my things. One of the things taken was my journal and a few other things. I thought it was just a grubby brute who needed money or food. But I had no idea why they had taken my journal. Now I know why. It was Kalara and the Queen.
So the Queen planned to make Edany suffer even more,
Valerie explained.
She wrote pretty happily about when your mother died and how it gave her so much joy. She wanted Kalara to trap both of you and kill Charles in front of you, Edany.
She wouldn't,
Edany gasped.
She can't be that cruel.
And then Kalara would kill you and take the deed to Edenheart for the Queen. The Queen wants Edenheart as an extension of the capital. She wants to expand it until it becomes enormous, and she has double the power.
I don't care what she wants Edenheart for,
the Duchess murmured.
She wants to take Charles away from me, simply to hurt me.
Yeah,
Valerie drawled out.
She sounds like not a nice lady. Like, at all. I'm still a little stuck on the fact that the Queen and Kalara are in love and plotting against you. I mean, I'm not surprised that the Queen is plotting against you, but two women in love? I've never heard of it before.
When men became obsolete, a lot of women switched over to women because they thought men were dirty brutes that would spread heinous diseases to them and their families. I know some women who do it because they enjoy the alternative lifestyle, but that's practically unheard of here in Edenheart. Edany hastily stood, wavered on her feet for a second, and then crossed the room over to the fireplace. The Duchess leaned against it for a second and stared into the mirror over the mantel. Her violet eyes were hazy with emotion, and she placed her hand over her mouth, as if she were about to be sick at any second. I turned around in my seat and watched her from afar. The rest of my women continued to speak about what we'd learned and hadn't seemed to notice that Edany wandered away. Edany, are you all right? The Duchess paused with her lips parted, and then her eyes swiveled to me through the mirror. She stared at me for a long time, and then her hands, resting on the mantel, curled into tight fists.
I've known for a long time that someday the Queen would try to kill me,
the blonde aristocrat murmured.
She tried to kill my mother and all of my other ancestors, dating all the way back to Olvia. My family has always been her enemy, and I'm pretty sure that I'm the biggest threat to her. As I told you before, my mother was the one who got closest to killing her, but sadly died a few months later. The Queen laughed in my face, and I'm sure if it were the other way around, I would have done the very same. I've known that she was a threat to me since before I could walk. And my mother always warned me never to play outside unattended, because an agent of the Queen could be hiding around one of the corners. It happened a few times, too, but they never managed to take me. I've always been too powerful for her secret agents, even as a young child.
So what's the matter? If you knew that this was coming, why are you reacting this way?
This isn't just about my family or me anymore, Charles. It's more than my issue now. You're involved, and they are threatening your life, too. Well, shouldn't you be more afraid? Scared? Terrified that Kalara could climb out of the woodwork and kill you in the spot where you sit?
I almost wanted to laugh at the Duchess's question. Was I scared of Kalara, the half-baked spy who gave away a bunch of information while sitting down for a short luncheon? Maybe a few months ago. But I'd fought with much more powerful and intimidating women in the past few months, and I could easily handle Kalara. We'd taken out Delphine and Hortensia, and those women were 10 times more frightening than Kalara. We had no idea what her power was, but I was sure that all of my women were stronger than her, so I had no reason to be afraid. All of this made me glad that we had Edeni on our side. My women may have been strong and powerful, but I was sure that their powers were nothing compared to the Duchess. Edeni could wipe out the whole town with a flick of her wrist, and I wondered why she was reacting this way. From my understanding, the Queen's power was nothing more than immortality, and I couldn't understand why the blonde aristocrat was so scared. Edeni, what's the matter? We knew that it was the Queen behind all of this. All we have to do is retaliate.
We can't retaliate, Charles. That's treason. What we're doing is treason. And if anyone finds out about it, my life is over. It's not that I would lose my position over Edenheart. I would lose my life. You would lose your life. And I think that's what I'm struggling with the most. I can't stand the idea of losing you, especially after I just got you. You're the love of my life, and I can't imagine a world where you don't exist by my side.
So,
Valerie broke in,
what are we going to do about Kalara? We all know we can't leave things as they are. That'll just allow her to attack us, and we certainly don't want that to happen.
I have to protect Charles,
Edeni stated.
Which entails that I have to protect all of you. After all, you are my super soldiers, and I wouldn't want one of my precious tools being killed off.
Right,
Daisy grumbled.
I say that we use Valerie's skills again. We wait until Kalara returns to her housing. Valerie picks the door for a second time, and we all converge on her at the same time. We snuff her out before she can do anything to us.
Even then, that's too risky.
Edeni rolled her eyes, pushed off the fireplace, and paced manically around the room.
Kalara could be waiting outside the manor for us right now. Or she could have returned to your manor and is lying in wait. I can't have all of you wandering about all willy-nilly.
It was just a suggestion.
The brunette rolled her eyes.
Then what do you think we should do, Edeni?
I think all of you should stay at my estate for the time being. That way my guards can protect you. If you're at the manor, there isn't much that I can do unless I sent men out there to protect you.
No. I understand that you want to protect me and your military assets, but we won't lose our freedom. For Valerie and Ryan, the manor is their home, and it's unfair to lock them away in the duchy where they're unallowed to wander around at their leisure. We will stay in the manor, and I'm sure that if Kalara does show her face, we can protect ourselves.
Oh, I'm hurt that you rejected my generous offer, Charles. She already showed up at your house once. Who's telling if she won't try it again?
I'm sure that we could take care of it ourselves. There is no reason for us to stay with you or have you dispense guards to the manor. We'll be perfectly fine on our own. These women do have augmented powers, after all.
That still doesn't solve what we're going to do about Kalara,
Josephine whimpered.
Is there anything we can do?
Edeni completely ignored the heiress's comment and glared over at me from across the room. Her violet eyes were sharp and filled with confusion and anger.
I don't understand why you're so calm and rational about this, Charles,
the Duchess snapped.
Someone is out to kill you. Not just anyone, but a trained assassin. Aren't you terrified? Why won't you let me help you? I want to help you, Charles. Your reasoning behind not staying at the duchy makes absolutely no sense. If you're at the manor, you're so far away and I can't help you.
I may be a male brute, Edeni, but I have free will under the patronage of my mistresses, Josephine and Daisy. I may be a subject of your duchy, but they are still in direct control of me. You may be the Duchess, but when it's something that involves me, they are the ones to decide.
Then what do they want?
The blonde aristocrat shouted.
I can tell from Josephine's face that she's terrified of Kalara and what she can do.
We're staying at the manor,
Daisy uttered.
It's final.
What about you, Josephine? Since the question was aimed at you and not at Daisy Browning.
I think... I think we should stay at the manor, and you should stay at the duchy. We managed to protect ourselves the first time she showed up, and I'm sure we could do it again.
Madness! All of you are utterly insane.
Edany, calm down. Everything will be all right. There's no reason to react this way. All of us will be fine. The Duchess's eyes snapped open, and her lips pulled back in a vicious snarl. She stalked forward to the table, leaned over it, and jabbed a finger into my chest. I felt the sizzle of electricity in the air, and immediately pulled away. But Edany gripped onto the front of my shirt.
Are you testing my patience? At a time like this, is that really what you want to be doing?
Edany, please, calm down.
So you're not going to do anything?
There isn't anything we can do right now, except to wait for her to make her next move. Edany let go of me with a short bark of a laugh, whipped around, and headed for the door. All three of us sat in stunned silence for a second until Daisy stood up from her chair.
What are you doing, Edany?
The brunette asked.
Storming off isn't going to solve anything.
I'm not storming off, you augmented sow! If all of you and Charles aren't going to do something to protect yourself, then I will.
What do you mean? I scrambled out of my chair and followed after her. Where are you going?
There's only one solution to this problem. I'm going to go out, find Kalara, and kill her myself.